Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It is the fifth day of November 2018, just one day away from the big midterm elections. And how do you think things are going to play out? How important is it to you about the elections tomorrow? I'd like to talk about that today. You know, Barack Hussein Obama, i.e. Barry Satoru, makes it very plain that this is the most important vote in a lifetime. I mean, this is it. And how important is it? Donald Trump is saying the same thing. Very important elections. Everybody round and about is. How important is it that the Republicans take the House and they take all the different seats where there's just a Republican wave that will move through the nation? How successful will that be for the morally righteous within our nation? I know that those that are voting, predominantly the people listening to this radio broadcast and broadcasts like this throughout the country, are wanting to vote in righteousness. They want to promote righteousness, laws of morality, laws of naturalness. You know, there's an unnatural reality that's going on in our world today in all different human behaviors. Things that are just unnatural. They're just not right. They're not normal. And that abnormality has been promoted, and the licentious spirit of the enemy has basically swept the nations of the earth into a mindset that this is normal, and it's not. And so it is the responsibility, perhaps the civil duty of people to vote in what is righteous. And then, of course, you know, we'll let the chips lie where they will, so to speak. But I know that you probably have already gone out to vote. You probably have spent some moments of your time in pushing the buttons, and you probably voted Republican, most of you, conservative Republican. I just can't imagine. And I've never been a real political person, but I cannot imagine that anyone professing to know Jesus Christ could vote Democrat at all. I just can't imagine any of the Democratic policies being upheld, because any vote for any Democrat, even if it looks good, you know, even if it is good, but to vote Democrat, you see where that party has gone. The Democratic Party has gone so far left that even those moderate, closer to the middle, closer to the center, you know, you vote for them because they're close to the center, they're more moderate. But a vote for them is a vote for the far left. And that's just the reality. I mean, it is so divided right now. You can't look at, you know, super liberal, ultra conservative, and then, you know, kind of towards the middle, what is known as moderate, and suggest that, well, if I just vote left, moderate left, I'll be okay. No, because there is such a strong, powerful movement that was witnessed before the eyes of our country that any vote to the left, any movement to the left is a movement that will take it far extreme left. And look at our country. And you don't have to be a Christian to understand that our nation has been taken into the stormy seas. I like to call them the stormy seas of Eurocladon. But our nation has been caught into a storm of violence. And we look at the condition of our country and it's not healthy. And the only thing that seems to sedate us is sports or some other thing that people gravitate to in times of insanity. And the reality is that sports and things like that are not going to stay the tide. So this is a moment where all people are being called upon to stand up, get into the battle, fight some battle while we have light to do so. And, you know, the urgent cry, the urgency, get out there, vote, vote, vote. Well, you know, and I know in our human nature, it's kind of like, who cares, right? I mean, who really cares? But then again, at moments like these, every one of us should care. We should care about who gets elected. Now, a lot of people believe that whoever's going to be elected is God's will, because in Daniel it says that God sets up kings and he brings them down, and that he rules over the nations of men, et cetera, et cetera. And I believe that. But then there's a balance in Hosea. You've selected kings and princes, but I knew it not. In other words, I wasn't involved in your decisions to promote whoever it is that you promoted Israel. And so, again, balance is necessary in discernment. But I don't know about you, but the idea, just the idea that Maxine Waters, Hillary Clinton, the Italian gal out in California, that, you know, the face of the Democratic Party, Chuck Schumer, and all the Nancy Pelosi is who I was thinking of. You know, all these folks, can you imagine them having power? They've been so insulting. They have been so aggressively dark. They have been so wickedly prescribed as healers and physicians within our nation. Do you notice how sick our country is? It's a very sick country right now. I mean, people are getting caught into lifestyles that are just absolutely absurd and evil. You know that, and I know that. So I think what's important is that we find ourselves engaged in making sure that we've done our part. When righteous men do nothing, or when good men do nothing, what happens? Evil prevails. Evil prevails. So it is important, even though we understand that we are living in a time from a biblical perspective. Now, if you remove the Bible from your analysis of what's going on in the world today, well, I believe you're going to come up short. But as we look through the biblical lens at what's going on in our world today, first of all, we're going to see that we're not unique to any other, you know, generation in the history of the world as far as our human condition is concerned. I mean, we are tremendously unique in the Bible prophecies that are being fulfilled in our generation. Bible prophecies like the increase of technology, Bible prophecies like people traveling to and fro like never before on the face of the earth, Bible prophecies like Israel becoming a nation after 1900 years of being displaced and scattered around the world. I mean, these are major biblical prophecies that are being fulfilled in our generation exponentially, that has never been fulfilled in any other generation in the history of the world. And so that makes us unique. But as far as the human heart, you know, lapsing into sinful behavior, evil conduct, darkness, you know, getting to the height of prosperity and then falling into depravity at supernatural levels, if you will, demonic entertainment. And we're witnessing that right now. So it's not new in that sense, but it's definitely a unique generation in as far as Bible prophecy is fulfilled. And so when we look through the biblical lens at what is taking place in our country today, we are really in a massive battle. We are engaged in a massive spiritual battle. And the spiritual battle, if you could stand back far enough and take a look, the spiritual battle that's being waged over a soul of a nation, the nation's soul, if you would put it collectively, is what is being warred over. And the soul of America, and again, you can't just separate, you know, like I'm the little finger and I'm going to disconnect from this, you know, body politic here, or I'm going to disconnect from the American citizenry. No, the soul, the collective soul of America is very sick. It's sick because not just of diversity. There is nothing wrong with diversity. I'm glad that my hand has one function and my stomach has another function. I mean, my whole body proves that diversity in and of itself is not evil. But when my mind, when my thinking mechanism becomes so contrasted or polarized, I become bipolar. I mean, I've got a north and a south going on in my mind. That's not a healthy condition. And the soul of America, the emotion of America, the thinking mechanism of America is polarized extremely, probably like never before. Even in the times of the Civil War, when we were polarized over an issue of slavery, that was a fight for something that was, you know, made sense, if you will. But what is being fought for in our generation is really the demonic strategy. This is a spiritual battle between Satan and Jesus Christ over the soul of a nation. When Jesus Christ was the head of this country, we prospered exponentially. We grew, we were healthy, we developed. We were never perfect as a nation, obviously. There's always two trees in the midst of the garden. But the genuine reality, as long as Christ was promoted and the Ten Commandments were promoted and the laws of Yahweh were promoted and morality was promoted and what is natural, like a man and a woman, was promoted, there was a richer reality. And now that we are living in this moment, the satanic mind has come to the forefront through the mechanisms of social media, the news, television, computer, radio, et cetera, et cetera. The adversary has sent forth out of his mind, out of his mouth, out of his heart, out of his emotion, a wave into this nation. And so many people have received that information, which was contrary to Christ, a blasphemy against God, if you will, a blasphemy, a rebellion, a revolt against what is right, what is natural, what is good, what is moral, et cetera, et cetera. And so over the years, this programming, this mental conditioning has been underway. And now you stand back and look and go, wow, after all these years, look where we are. And now we have 24 hours or so until the elections of who's going to take power in the offices of the United States government. And the probability, in my opinion, the probability, it doesn't matter ultimately because the judgment is set against the United States. However, we don't know how God's hand would be stayed. We don't know. But I think there's going to be some telling reality in the next 48 hours as to where this country is. Where is the United States of America? Well, we know that the soul of the nation is being fought over. The Spirit of God has been relentless in his mercy, in his grace. I mean, have you realized how merciful God has been over this nation, even though he has allowed the strokes to come against it in order to turn it back to him? That's what punishment's always about in the economy of God. When he disciplines his children, it's always to bring them back to his heart. So God has allowed the strokes, big strokes since 9/11/2001, and stripes upon the nation. But the fear is that the prophet Isaiah says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will only revolt more and more. And so we're in danger of no more strokes and disciplines, but literally being turned over to destruction. And that's what the conscience of our country doesn't understand. And the people that have rejected Jesus Christ will never understand that reality. But again, from a biblical point of view, that is exactly where we are. And if we see this demonic energy, this satanic demonic energy that is so obvious and apparent in the left, in the Democratic Party, from the moderate side to the other side, and quite frankly, a moderate Republican is a dangerous person too. You have to be very careful about moderate Republicans. This is a time to get off the fence and go one way or the other. And so if you are going to vote, you must vote the conservative principles and the conservative values of those that are far right. Now, the enemy on the left has done everything in its power to demonize wing Republican Party by suggesting that they are fanatics and they are murderers and they are Nazis and they are racists and they are white supremacists. And that is the demonization of our Republican Party to the far right. But in reality, the far right represents a moral righteousness, a compass that would bring the nation out of the stormy waters of destruction and bring it into safer havens when it comes to our morality. And by the way, we will be judged upon our moral condition and conduct. And so the you have to stay away from the fence. You can't be lukewarm. And the moderate Republican and the moderate Democrat, I mean, I would stay so far away from that lukewarm condition because they could go either way. And that's what a lukewarm person is like. They could go either way. Today I'm happy with Jesus. Tomorrow I'm going to party. You know, so you got to stay away from that. And they could change their minds easy. But if you get far on one side or the other, you're meeting up with people that are not bent on easily going back another direction. So if you vote Democrat at any level, you're going far left. And as a Republican Party, you have to vote far right. You have to go to the extreme so nobody could change over, so to speak. And so we have to trust that people want to promote a culture of life. In other words, that will put an end to abortion. The Supreme Court is now positioned to be able to do that. There's no doubt when we speak horizontally, politically, about what's going on in America. I know a lot of veterans out there have fought for the United States of America. I know that blood has been shed for the United States of America. And so a Revolutionary War, a Civil War, and now this Third World War that has started with the chanting. You know, every war begins with words. Even when David was fighting Goliath, Goliath was shouting his words, "I'm going to rip you to shreds, you little punk." And then David was shouting out, "I'm going to take your head off," in a prophetic declaration. And so then the battle. So we've been in the word war, the emotional war, for quite some time. And the physical, actual war, we've seen previews of it in Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore. We've seen it at the, you know, all these different mechanisms of outrage, if you will. Rage that has been bursting out into the public arena. But now is a moment. Which way do you want to go? Now, if the left goes insane, and they've already suggested if they don't take back the House, there's going to be blood in our streets. And so they've threatened that if the people don't vote Democratic and give us some power back in the House, there's going to be blood in the streets. Well, are we going to capitulate to people that want to say that? I mean, you got to have enough chutzpah just to basically say, you know, forget you, forget your nonsense and your threat. You know, you want to spill blood, probably going to be your own if you're going to go in that direction. So you don't back off when a tyrant like the Goliath is taunting. You have to have a Davidic heart and you have to prophesy what will be. Now, do I think that this particular election is going to change the face of the earth and God's plans and all these things? No. Our ultimate desire and reality as born-again, spirit-filled Christians is that our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, would come to Jerusalem, Israel, and set up his base camp, if you will. Amen? That is the ultimate desire, that the government of God will be in the earth. But if there are men and women of God on the right that will uphold the principles of God, then we have to move in that direction and give credence to that until the King of Glory makes his decision to return to this earth and take over everything, set up his government where people like you and I will be ruling over cities, because we're not going to be elected by men. We are going to be elected by God. And how many of you have been living in such a manner that you would like to be elected by God to rule over cities and govern nations? I mean, come on, that's very powerful. And this is how God will set up his government. So that's our ultimate desire. But while we're here in this horizontal world as citizens of a nation whose soul is being fought over, we have to side with Jesus Christ. We must side with him. So I'm going out. I voted for Donald J. Trump. And 2 years down the road, I'm going to vote far-right Republican. And I would encourage everybody to vote far-right Republican. Look at the policies. Look what people stand for. Try to know who the people are. But at least if you're going to be do your civil duty in this manner, then you know and I know that's what we're supposed to do. But understand this. There is a spiritual raging battle over the soul of America. Now, can you imagine, let's put it out 20 years. Let's say the Republicans overwhelmingly dominate this election. 20 years from now, through a Republican Supreme Court, if you will, even though they're not supposed to be Republican or Democrat, they're just supposed to be rule over the Constitution, right? And that's true. But there are those with moral values that were appointed to those positions for one reason or another. So let's say 20 years from now, after a Republican domination in the voting today, for the next 20 years, Roe versus Wade is overturned. Let's say that men marrying men is now again, because it's always been that way, it's illegal for men to marry men, for women to marry women, that throughout the United States, that becomes an illegal act again, and homosexuality, the law of the land reverts back to what it always was, a criminal offense. And so now you have a criminal offense against those that would practice such a lifestyle, okay, because that's the way it always was. It is a criminal offense for a woman to get pregnant and then to just go to an abortion clinic and shed the innocent blood of a baby in her womb. So that creates a little bit more responsibility. The institutions begin to get washed out of the far left professors, and the news media and the Hollywood lose their revolutionary energy because of a dominant right movement in this country. Now that, to me, would be a reviving. So now the control gets put on Hollywood. It's no longer allowed to bring blasphemy and rated R filthy, satanic, rotten, dirty movies. The internet comes under a control where it's no longer to put on there the vivid, disgusting images that pollute the minds of little boys and little girls and corrupt the soul of men and women throughout the nation as well. So in other words, a real energetic, value-centered, principle-centered, moral-center of what is righteous-centered. And over 20 years, what kind of a shift in the mindset would there be? I mean, there'd probably be a tremendous amount of turmoil. People would get upset, but the law would be the law. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing to view over 20 years? Rather than that, what we've seen over the last 40 to 50 years of people wallowing in the mire and being disgusted with what the left is doing, being disgusted with abortion, crying out for judgment and justice against all these things. Well, wouldn't it be awesome to see at a horizontal level in this American country, borders and jobs and prosperity, but with a morality where it used to be the old Disney world, you know, the Disney movies when I was a kid were the most beautiful. You watch Lassie and things like that. A morality being presented to the mind of man. Now, can America ever be that free again? Can America ever be that free again? Will the FCC come under the commissioner or the commission or the the control of righteousness? Well, if it could in 20 years, what would it look like? Now, you know that I personally believe that this will never happen. But it could, obviously. It doesn't matter what I believe. You know, what I believe is what the Bible says, and the Bible says when you do what we've done, you're going to be judged. And yet I see that we've had judgment, which is crises, around us for years now. We've been under judgment, obviously. But this moment, if the left wins this midterm election, if they gain power in the House, they're going to steamroll. There won't be the ability to do what I've just described, because they want what they've achieved to be the dominant reality. And if they win these midterm elections, they are going to labor with all their energy to win the election in 2020? Year and a half from now? Whatever it is. This is a obviously powerful moment, but it's also playing into the end time prophetic reality of God. So how do we analyze these things? Well, maybe you could help me do so today. The number to call, 818-369-0326. I'm going to open the telephone lines a little bit early this morning so that we could have some dialogue and conversation about this moment. I believe we're probably all in agreement. It's an important moment, and that what we do personally is a reflection of who we are. And I actually even know some people that who have taken a position that I once took in my life, and that is, you know, no soldier in the kingdom of God entangles himself with the affairs of this world. And we as Christians are soldiers of the cross. We are soldiers of the kingdom. We are soldiers of Christ. And we don't want to be entangled in all this stuff in the world. It's all tricks, smoke, mirrors, and all that stuff. It's political, you know, corruption, et cetera, et cetera. And so people have backed down and said, I'm not going to vote. I don't care. I'm going to live my life under the umbrella of Jesus Christ. He's going to direct my path. I don't need a government. I don't need a Republican Party, a Democratic Party to guide my life. And yet, however, I would like to live my faith and my walk with God in a, I would like to see his laws exalted, his presence felt. I would love to see these things. And so it's a battle. I happen to believe a lot of people are going to vote. They're saying record numbers right now are turning out to vote. And I think that's pretty awesome. I think that's pretty awesome that that's happening. And so let's go ahead and get into some dialogue. Again, the number to call is 818-369-0326, and then you press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you into the program. And by the way, every morning that we do our radio broadcast, I send out an alert to people that are on certain lists. And if you happen to get an alert and you're on one of our lists, and you don't want that, somehow your phone number got on that list and you were a marketing director and you weren't really concerned about radio ministry and you don't want to be on it, the only thing you can do to get off the list is to block our contacting you. So there's a little device on your phone to block contact, and that will not allow us to send to you. There's no way for us to remove you from the list. I've searched this out. There's nothing. And I don't know why Google does what it does, but there's just nothing we could do. We certainly are not wanting to, you know, force Omega Radio and this radio station or the Watchman program on anybody. And so we are very sensitive to that. So what you can do if you're on the list and you're getting the alerts and you don't want them, simply block our contact. That's what you do on your part. You have to be a bit proactive. And we do apologize for that. I don't know why it works that way. I'd be more than happy to hit a delete button somewhere, but you just can't. There's no way to just delete somebody from that list. So that's all I could say about that. We apologize for it. Number to call, 818-369-0326. And we'll press 1 on the dial pad. And what I'll do is I'm going to shift. I heard a song this weekend, and I do apologize for those of you who don't hear these songs clearly, and I'm sorry there's no words to them, but I heard a song this weekend at one of our church meetings that really rocked, how do I say this? It really blessed my heart. And by the way, before I play this song, coming Saturday night, so today is the 5th, that means the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, or I think it's the 10th or so. Saturday night, Joel Richardson, the author of The Islamic Antichrist and a host of other books, is going to be coming to New Wine Ministry Center to share the Word of God. And so if you love Bible prophecy, end time Bible prophecy, and want to engage in one of the most sophisticated conversations about the end times, man, next Saturday night, 5:30, right here in Bella Vista, Arkansas, you could come out and hear Joel Richardson share the Word of God. We met him in the airport a couple of Saturdays ago when we were returning from our trip, and lo and behold, there he was. We had breakfast together, and just a really great reconnection. I used to interview Joel on other radio broadcasts years ago, and he's coming back to join us on the air. So I want to get the word out. I'll be doing it all week this week. Saturday night, November 10th, I believe it is. Let me do my math real quick. Tuesday is the 6th, Wednesday the 7th, Thursday the 8th, Friday the 9th, Saturday the 10th. Okay, so Saturday, November 10th at 5:30 p.m., Joel Richardson will be ministering at the New Wine Ministry Church. We're looking forward to that. And also, I've got some interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks with Carl Gallups. Once again, has written a new book, and his ministry contacted us, and we want to bring him back on the air. And there's a gentleman also that has recently written a book about preterism. And whether you know it or not, preterism and universalism have infiltrated much of the church organization and much of just general gatherings of many people. There's a spirit of universalism, a spirit of preterism, seeking once again to undermine the faith of God's people. And I'll give you an example of what preterism basically is. Is particularly hyper-preterism. Hyper-preterism tells us that all Bible prophecy was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. That's it. All Bible prophecy was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. That's the hyper-preterist movement. The book of Revelation has been fulfilled, et cetera, et cetera. The problem with hyper-preterism is that the Apostle Paul confronted some people when he wrote in the book of Timothy that so-and-so was overthrowing the faith of the saints by saying that the resurrection was already past. And in order for Bible prophecy to have been fulfilled 2,000 years ago, the resurrection would have had to have happened, and there were some that were proclaiming it had. Paul assured them it had not. And in the book of Thessalonians, there were letters and ideas going around, the resurrection is past, the Lord is at hand. And he said, no, that's not going to happen until these two major themes happen, which is the great apostasy and the revelation of the man of lawlessness or the man of sin. So we've been talking a lot about that. And let's get back to the election reality. So I really don't want to shift and go into a song, although I did hear some song, a song that is just, I know it's going to bless your heart, but I'd rather keep the lines open. 818-369-0326. Let's talk about how important the elections are tomorrow. Maybe you don't feel they're important at all. Let's have the dialogue, and let's create a conversation here on this radio broadcast. 818-369-0326. Maybe it's a mute issue because you already know how important this is. You've already got that witness in your spirit, and you've already gone and voted, and maybe you've already understood all of this. But to that one individual that maybe is on the fence, that one individual that's just not sure, I do believe that this is as important as everyone has said it is. I really believe it is. Is it going to change my walk with Jesus? No. Does the Bible say in the last days that there is going to be an Antichrist government around the world, which is a lawless government where human-natured flesh activity and conduct and behavior will be unrestrained? Yes, that's going to happen. Is this that moment? It may very well be, and I think we're going to find out in the next 24 hours whether or not we've just taken a step closer to the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, or if the reprieve everybody was talking about in 2016 is a genuine reprieve. How important is that? What does it mean to your life? What does it mean to your life if there is a reprieve? Are you going to live differently? Are you going to change some of the ways of doing things? And if we see the energetic, demonic left come to power to begin to push again, what does that mean? Is that a further witness to your preparation? What's going to happen in the next 24 hours or so? 818-369-0326. We're beckoning the call of those that are tuned into the broadcast right now. We see many, many people on the telephone lines listening in. Maybe you're listening in on Omega Radio, and you want to just make that call. 818-369-0326. And there are some other things going on in the world today we could talk about. But what I'll do, because of the lulling calls, take a break. I want to share with you a great song called So Will I. And this was recorded not too long ago, but it's a beautiful song. May it bless your heart. We'll be right back.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you see, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. The stars were made to worship so loud. I can see your heart in everything you play. Every burning star receives no fire of grace. Creation sings your praises, oh Lord. Oh, Lord. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no seal upon empty, oh boy. But once you have spoken, feature and signs follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, involving in pursuit of what you. If it all reveals your nature so alive, I can see your heart in everything you say. Every pain in sky can't deny your grace. Creation celebrates you so alive.
You know, this song continues to go forward, and in reality, it's such a beautiful song. I highly doubt you're getting the words. They're hard to perhaps understand. You should get the song. It's called So Will I, and you should listen to it and listen to the words of it, and I'll tell you what it inspires in me. What it inspires in me is I could care less about saving America. If you want to know the truth, I don't care about saving America. What I care about is being with Jesus and allowing this end time scenario to quicken its pace. As a matter of fact, a part of me wants to go out and vote Democrat, vote as far Democrat as I possibly can. Let them. Why? I know you're going, oh, my gosh. Well, the Bible says that the saints of God should hasten the day. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to see the Lord return. I want to see Jesus return, and I know it would be blasphemous to go out and do what is wrong to get Jesus to return. You don't do that. I get that. I'm just telling you, you know, a part of my heart is, you know, I don't care. about, quote unquote, America. We as Christians care about all people everywhere, don't we? Don't we love the Muslims in Iran and Afghanistan? Don't we love the people in South America and Canada and in Europe? Don't we love all people everywhere? And is that not why we send missionaries out around the world to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ? I don't care about American exceptionalism, quite frankly. The only thing I care about America is that Jesus was once its head. And that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit were the dominant reality in this nation. And we'd like to see that again, yes. But if we're that far down the road, where over 120 nations have already fallen to the powers of darkness, and the whole global society needs to destroy the U.S. to bring the Antichrist man of sin to power, well, that only quickens the pace to bring us closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. You may not like that idea, but it's really there. In spirit, that's the desire. Paul the Apostle said, listen, I don't want to be burdened anymore with the things of this world. He says, I'm crucified to this world in the book of Galatians. And the world is crucified unto me. In other words, I don't care what the world is doing. The Roman government of his day, he doesn't care. The only thing that mattered to him was a new creation. And that's the only thing that should matter to you and I, that we are so born again that we are manifesting forth the new creation character that has been so transformed into the image and likeness of the firstborn son that we have undergone a complete metamorphosis. A metamorphosis that we have completely undergone an inward transition of nature, a change of nature. That should have more weight, power, and value to you and I than anything that this world is going to do. We need to tell the world about Jesus. We need to hear the name Jesus in our country. We need to listen to the name Jesus. Now, if what's going on in America is going to create that environment, I'm all in. And I'm going to go and vote far right anyways. But I'm just telling you, another side of my heart, the Apostle Paul said the same thing. I don't care. What I care about is the kingdom of God, the lordship of Jesus Christ in truth, and the manifestation of his glory in my life. And in the life of those that are around and about us, we should have a greater love than anybody in this world. You know, the Democrats always say they're all about love. They want to love, love, love. And yet they're murdering people from God by their policies and by their legislation, right? As a Christian, we do it out of love to save souls, as many as we can. The most important thing to Yahweh, Father, Abba, God, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the most important thing to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is the salvation of a soul from eternal damnation and death. And even if the Republicans come to power, yay, there's a lot of people on the left that'll probably commit suicide, jump out of windows, slice their wrist, go into depression. That's not what we want. Our job is not to raise something up for other people to die. If we really have the heart of Jesus Christ, it should be to save every soul. And yet declare to every soul what's going on in this world. And that's the razor's edge balance that we live on. You must cry out against what is evil. You must shout it from the rooftops. You must declare the righteous judgment of God upon these things. But at the same time, as we go, find people that are stuck and are going to be, you know, caught into this judgment, this crisis, and try to bring them back to the Father in a spirit of reconciliation. Jesus Christ was the great reconciler of mankind to the Father. Paul said he had a ministry of reconciliation. And so we are the reconcilers of the human race, but it's getting late and the demonic energy is getting more powerful. And the bondage and slavery and eternal judgment and damnation and condemnation upon the soul of man is becoming final. And we have got to bring the treasure of souls back to the Father. That's what we should be more concerned about. You know, if my team wins the football game, rah, rah, rah for me, right? Well, that's not the genuine heart. I won, you lost. Republicans won, you lost. I mean, yeah, I get it on a horizontal basis. I get it. But at the same time, what's more important? Well, and I understand the logic. Well, if we've got the Supreme Court and we win, we promote morality, everything's going to be all right. You really sure about that? That it's all going to be all right? You think the global community is just going to go our way? And this is why when I was on Red State Radio, Scott Adams, he's the owner of Red State Radio. I did some, and they're a very highly political Red State Radio. And I was doing my broadcasting, and I wanted to go down that path, but I couldn't help but getting the biblical reality into the conversation. And I made a decision. You know what? I'm not ready to just go political with this stuff. And I'm not so sure I'm ready to go political right now either, quite frankly. But the line is open, 818-369-0326. You're welcome to call into the broadcast anytime, and I'll take your call. Just press 1 on the dial pad. And, you know, that's my heart, by the way. What I just shared with you was not just some, you know, the other stuff that I talk about with, you know, voting and all, you know, that's a secondary reality for me. The primary desire of my heart is for Jesus Christ to come back. That's my desire. I happen to believe that Jesus is returning to this earth, and I know what it's going to take for that to happen. It's going to be a chaotic time in the realm of darkness and tribulation and persecution and suffering all over the world. I know that, but it has to happen in order to bring the glory. And so do I want to really hold back the tide right now? Why would I? I want to hold back my own self, my human nature, by taking up my cross daily and dying to myself. Yes, ultimately, I want this world to be under the glory of Christ. So do you. And that will happen when he returns. I happen to believe that our generation is unique. Bible prophecies are being fulfilled that have never been fulfilled before that tell me he is coming. And that these things that are happening must happen. Is that to say don't go and vote? No. I mean, as I said earlier, that part of you just wants Jesus to come. And if it's going to mean that this man of sin has to be revealed, well, but maybe a lot of people aren't ready. Maybe I'm not ready for what's coming in behavior and conduct and character. Maybe the transformation is not yet complete. Maybe we're still hanging around the middle. God forbid. But why else would we want to hold back the Lord from coming? The Spirit and the bride say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Why the bride? Because her heart is pure. She desires Jesus to come. The general majority of Christians want to hold back. I haven't lived my best life yet. I haven't gotten all the goodies yet. I haven't, you know, well, the most important thing is to realize what it said in Colossians, that you are dead and your life, your eternal reality is hid in Christ. And when he appears, you will appear with him in eternal life. But here on earth, the only thing that matters is that you are involved in the vocation that God has called you to. You and I are here to be salt and light and witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ to this nation. That's it. We're not here to live our best life now. Our best life is hitting Christ. So do we engage in a battle? Yes. Not for just Republican and Democrat, but for the salvation of souls, both that are Republican and Democrat. I got a news flash for everybody. Not every Republican is born again. Not every Republican is saved by grace through faith. 818-369-0326. Come on, comment on what you're hearing. Give me some commentary. Talk to me. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. A lot of contemplation going on today. A lot of thinking things through. And that's what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, just, you know, bringing it to the body of Christ and saying, here, let's really think about these things, you know, because it's so easy to get mentally surfaced. In other words, just think out of the top of your head, but have no contemplation, no examination, no meditation on what really is important. And, you know, most of the deception just happens up on top. It's what we see in the smoke and mirrors of our day, but it's deep reflection. You know, it's that interconsideration. What's important to people? Well, I don't want the devil to come. Got news for you. He's already here. Well, I don't want evil to come. Well, got news for you. It's already here. The devil, before he makes his actual appearance, he's already sending waves of his demonic energy through every mechanism available to him. That's what the Bible says he would do. He's already here. The mystery of iniquity already is at work. But the man of lawlessness will come. And when that happens, the nations of the earth are basically sealed because they're going to worship him. And then the war comes against the body of Christ. The great tribulation is not from God. It's not his wrath. It's the devil's wrath. It's not against the world. It's against everything that's called God. Let's take our first call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. We're glad you're on the air from South Dakota.
Question. Okay, when the second coming of Jesus Christ appears, comes to pass, there will be only the bride of Christ that will go. With that in mind, how many people will be left behind, so to speak, and will not enter in to this marriage supper of the Lamb?
Okay, well, let's kind of look at that carefully. When you say only the bride will go, I don't have evidence of that. What I'm thinking in Matthew 24 is that when the Lord returns, there's going to be a resurrection. The dead in Christ will rise. All those who have died in the last 2,000 years in Jesus will resurrect, and they will be brought to the Lord and meet him in the air in their new glorified resurrected bodies. Those that are alive and remaining on the earth who have been saved by grace through faith will go. The multitudes will have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb already, Revelation 7, and they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So the resurrected dead will come to the Lord. Those alive and remaining will come to the Lord. And then there will come the wrath of God upon the remaining nations of the earth in Revelation 16. Predominantly, after the Revelation 14 harvest, the second harvest of Revelation 14 is those being cast into the winepress of the wrath of God. We see that in Revelation 16. Then the destruction of Babylon in 17 and 18. And then the coming of the Lord in Revelation 19 is with his armies from heaven to come back and set up his kingdom on this earth. And then we move forward into Revelation 21 with the marriage of the Lamb. His wife has made herself ready. And yet there will be many guests. There will be those that sit in the throne with him, and there will be those that are before the throne. So I don't know if it's only the bride that's going to be taken out at the second coming, or if it's going to be all believers everywhere that went through the great tribulation, resurrected, and had faith in Jesus Christ to the realm of salvation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. With all that, what you have quoted, then, with the word the bride, they are the ones that have gone on. So there's many that have gone on before, even the disciples and apostles and all them, and they are with the Lord. Okay, when this second coming happens, this is a glorification that we will come into, and then we will be for a period of time, like you brought out, with the Lord, but we're coming back here to reign, rule and reign with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they call that the millennium. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. And I'm excited about that moment. How about you?
Yes. Looking forward to that. But I also see something, and I feel in my spirit that the Lord is definitely preparing the people that are now alive on this earth, and that is there's a clarion call, really, that is in the hearts of these people. And there's a great separation going on, you know, because some of these so-called organized religious churches and gatherings, they're not talking about the coming of the Lord. And that they're not. And yet they're called, this is a place to worship.
Yeah, and that's really sad because a lot of people have taken it to themselves to spiritualize the coming of the Lord with the words parousia and all these harpazo and all this stuff. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the angels said to those that were standing looking up into heaven when the cloud took Jesus out of their sight, he said, "This same Jesus so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go." So Jesus is coming back to this earth. To that, there's no doubt. We've got another call coming in from South Dakota. This may be Ken joining us on the air. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Good morning. Well, I'm about 300 miles from my wife, and I'm heading home, which is good. But my what I want to know is the discussion that's going on right now. This teaching that is out there, such as like what A is doing, is that for the Jewish people, I want you to elaborate on that, please.
Yeah, and I think the elaboration is basically that the Jewish people do not need faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. That somehow there's two economies here. There's the economy of Yahweh with Israel, and then there's the economy of Yeshua with the church. And I completely 1,000% dispute that because it's very clear in Scripture that he's made of the two, the Jew and the Gentile, one new man in the earth through Jesus Christ. There is no salvation apart from Yeshua. And quite frankly, anybody that denies the Son is Antichrist. That's very clear in the epistles of John, that those who deny the Son deny the Father also. And so whether you're Islamic, whether you're a Judaistic believer or a Jewish person, you reject Messiah Yeshua, you reject the Father. There is no salvation in any of that. And those that promote it are just, again, playing into the end time thing, that there will be doctrines of devils, seducing spirits, people having itching ears, wanting to heap teachers to themselves, telling them what they want to hear rather than the truth. So that's my take on it. Let's take this next call as well, coming from right here locally, 479-855. I believe this is Pastor Ken Wagner. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Well, good morning, Pastor, and this rainy morning over here. Hey, Pastor, I can't help but think there was an old saying put out a long time ago that all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And that's what the church has seemed to have been done and has allowed a lot of this stuff to creep in. And so it has also occurred this very way over our nation as well. It is our responsibility. If we don't vote, if we don't do the things that we're supposed to do, we deserve what we get. And yet, on the other hand, there's another thought that keeps crossing my mind as well, and that is, could this be a judgment and punishment this nation, America, has done, what it has allowed? And again, because we never rose up, almost every one of these other entities that are out there, all the ungodly ones, they put due diligence into their work. They really went about emphasizing their cause, what they were all about, and what they were doing. And they got things passed in their direction. And yet we sat back and didn't say anything. So we deserve what we have in that sense. So I'm just wondering on here what people are going to do now. Are they going to, is the silent majority, the church, going to begin to rise up and do what is right? Or are they just going to sit back again and take a bloodbath, so to speak, for the things that are going on?
Yeah, let me just speak into that because of the shortness of time. Here's what I think is going to happen. The majority of people that are listening to this broadcast, they've already voted. They're going to vote, and they're going to vote right, and they're going to vote for morals and values and principles belonging to the kingdom of God. And yet, in the depths of their heart, at a deeper level, they know that there's something even deeper that they long for, and that is the return of Jesus Christ. And so it may appear to be somewhat hesitant at the moment, but even in hesitancy, the people are going to vote. I'm going to go vote, and I'm not going to vote left. I'm going to vote far right, and I'm going to vote for everybody that promotes righteousness, and that's what I'm looking for, and I'm going to leave it lay. But whatever happens beyond that, happens beyond that. God's will be done. I want Jesus to come. You want Jesus to come. The people want Jesus to come. We just want him to come. That's all I have to say. Patricia Joy Xavier is up next. Thanks, guys, for calling in. We really do appreciate it. We're going to shift right now. Hold tight, I'm sure. Patricia Joy, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, is coming live right now in just about a minute. And I believe you're going to have a feisty conversation. Stay tuned. It's going to get real good.
The Lord is moving mightily in conversation, and I think that is his will to do. And I am thrilled, very thrilled, to know that you're listening. And I also thank you, Lord, that you are involved in our lives. And we know that the Proverbs 28:28 says, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. And also in Proverbs 28:12, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. When righteous men do nothing, evil will rule. Now, this is out of the book of Proverbs, body of Christ, and you know, many people are saying, well, Edmund Burke and other people that are well known are the ones that brought this forth, and they are the ones that had this incredible saying, and it is all over the internet that is where it came from. No. It came from the book of Proverbs, and it's time that the world understands where the truth really does come from. That man who is very famous for it, Edmund Burke, it says he once said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. No, he didn't say it. The Holy Spirit said it. The Lord God Almighty said it in the book of Proverbs. That's how far gone the world is. They don't know that it's been from the book of God, the Bible, that all these wonderful sayings have really come from. Men adopt them for themselves. And when they do that, for what purpose? To be known, to raise their reputation as great minds. No mind is greater than that of the Lord God Almighty, and that is why we must tell the world the truth. You know, the world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. In the endless battle between good and evil, it is seldom the numbers that determine the outcome of each skirmish. Many times, the side for right has beaten overwhelming odds. More often, evil wins simply because good men are not willing to stand up and fight for what they know is right. That is where the righteous army of God comes in. We fight, but we don't fight with weapons as it says in Ephesians 6:10, we read, last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. Isn't it amazing that it reads not our power, but his power within us? And when the all-consuming power of Jesus is in you, I guarantee that no power of Satan can long endure. But we have to put on the whole armor of God. So when good men do nothing, they get nothing good done. To be good, one must do good. Now, to be good, no man is good but God. However, one must do good. You know, in Luke 6:35, it says, do good, expecting nothing in return. Ephesians 2:10, we were created to do good works. Why am I bringing this up? Because I believe that when you go to the poll, you will do a good work for that which is right. For the righteous will do what is right. To overcome evil, we must make moves toward what is right, toward what is good, and we must make a decision of what that is. And only by the word of God can we. We were created to do good works. I'm encouraging you, body of Christ, to go and vote. No matter what the circumstances, go and vote, and vote for what is righteous, not for what is unrighteous. Titus 2:14 tells us Christ gave himself to gain a people zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. We want to do a good work. We want to get to the polls, and we want to do a good work for righteousness, not for unrighteousness. For when good men do nothing, evil will rule. The parable of the one talent man, think of that. He took what the Lord gave and hid it. That's in Matthew 5:25-18. He was condemned for returning only what his Lord gave. He did not do any overwrite evil, something that was outright evil, something that was so bad, so evil. He did not steal the money, neither did he do anything good with the money. He did nothing. You see what I'm coming to here? It is our rightful duty to vote. The church at Sardis seemed to be alive, but it was dead. Too many churches and Christians do nothing. They are standing idly by. Listen to me. They are standing idly by. They are mere spectators sitting on the sidelines instead of actively participating. You have an opportunity today to do good work, to vote for what is righteous. If good wins, they join in the celebration, though they did nothing to produce the victory. I've seen it happen. If evil wins, they complain long and loud, though their own apathy produced the undesirable result. You know, we have to also learn from the parable of the fig tree in Matthew 21:19. What will the great judge do with those who claim to be good and yet do nothing? Listen, heed the warning of John the baptizer. Jesus too gives the same warning. Remember, when good men do nothing, evil triumphs. Do you want that? Now I want the coming of the Lord too. And we are to cry out, Lord, come. The bride of Christ cries out, Lord, come, come quickly. But there is one thing he does do and ask. He gives us opportunity to minister to as many as possible. Think about it. Do you not want all your family members to get turned around? What way would do best? What body coming into operation in this country as government would do best to give opportunity to those we love that have not yet turned their hearts toward Christ? I know we all yearn, we all desire to see our family members come in and be saved, and there are promises regarding that, but we haven't seen it yet. Do we need a reprieve? Or will the coming of an evil government make it quicker? Or will we even be able to get to them in time? We need to consider these things, body of Christ. We need to be wise in our choosing. Evilness, sin, and sinful men must be opposed. It is our duty to oppose them. God commands that the good are not to just avoid evil, actively oppose it. How many times have we done that? Have we actively opposed evil? Have we shied back? Afraid? This is time to get bold. This is the time to put on the whole armor of God and get bold. This is the time to become the army of Christ and stand strong, knowing greater is in you than he that is in the world. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the evil, but reprove them. Reprove them. Reprove them. Have we done that with our family members or those that have been around and about us that we know call themselves Christians, but we have not reproved them for the evil or the wrong we see, and we have fellowship with them regardless? We have to search our hearts. It's time for us to look deep, deep, deep within the cords of our heart and search it. Those who do nothing about sin and evil help sin and evil to prevail. If we do nothing about sin, we help that evil. And evil will induce more sin. And evil will prevail if we do nothing. If we do nothing. I'm exhorting you today. It is time for exhortation. Ezekiel 3:18 reads this way. When one is silent before the evil, we become a partaker with them. Let me read it again. Perhaps you want to write it down. It's an incredible scripture. Ezekiel 3:18. When one is silent before the evil, we become partaker with them. One thing I admire more than anyone else regarding this issue is in Pastor Vincent Xavier. He is not afraid to speak the truth to those that are calling themselves Christians but doing evil, and even tell them that they cannot continue with our fellowship under the circumstances. Truthfully, I see very few Christians calling themselves Christians and even pastors doing that. And the word of God is clear. And that may be one of the reasons that so much evil has taken over the church. When good men do nothing, evil prevails. Elijah challenged the people to decide between God and the evil of Ahab and Jezebel, yet the people remained silent. Come on. Don't you see it? Maybe even in your own life or in the lives of those who call themselves Christians or even ministers of the Word of God. I do. I see them remaining silent. In fact, giving in to evil oftentimes. And even when they are asked not to. So we as a people have to rise up, have faith, be strong, trust God. In the things that we know are wrong, speak out to your family members, cousins, aunts, friends, neighbors next door. It's time to speak out. Now, they may not like you for it, and I'll tell you why later. But you will have a great standing in the heavens, in the justice hall of heaven. You will have a great standing, and you will meet the Lord soon, very soon. And you want to stand strong before him. You want to know that you have done his will. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, wicked men had robbed and beaten a man, leaving him half dead. The men who did this were very evil. The priest and the Levite who passed on the other side were willing to let evil triumph by doing nothing. They didn't do anything. Only the Samaritan stood up for what was right. You know, we have to know and understand that in the fight against evil, there is no middle ground. There is no gray area, no neutrality. We have to be strong in the Lord, in faith, in the power of his might within us. Trust in him. When we speak the truth and know that it is his spirit within us that is going to move mightily to turn things around, for the power comes out of the mouth of the word within you. When good men do nothing, they are no longer good. Too many have the mistaken notion that good is merely the absence of doing wrong. Think about it. Think about it. Just because we don't do wrong, we think that we're good. A person is not good merely because he has done no evil. A good person is one is actively working for what is good. That person is actively working for what is good. 1 Peter 3:11. When we do not do good, we are sinning. Come on. James 4:17. It's not me saying this. Body of Christ, people are listening. It is the word of God, and the word of God is absolute honor and truth. In the Old Testament, Reuben, the eldest of sons of Israel, knew his brother's plot to murder Joseph was wrong. I almost said Joseph. Joseph was wrong. Reuben knew that. Started an attempt to rescue Joseph, but while he delayed, his brothers sold Joseph into slavery. When Reuben found out what had happened, he realized that his inaction helped to bring, instead of correcting his error, he covered his guilt by agreeing with his brothers to lie about Joseph's disappearance. Reuben had good intentions. He was not present when Joseph was sold into slavery, but his inaction and absence made him just as guilty. His guilt haunted him the rest of his life. That was in Genesis 42:21-22. Obadiah condemned the Edomites for doing nothing when evil befell their relatives, the Jews. And there are Christians today who fail to face the real foe of error and fight the enemy. Instead, they turn inwardly upon their own brethren and brutally attack out of bitterness and hatred. How often have I witnessed that? How often have you witnessed that? Within the body, they open their mouth and they condemn. Well, did Paul warn about these spiritual cannibals? Galatians 5:15. Some in their envy of others will provoke Christians, taunting them to misstep so they may feel justified. While the actions of these Christians are shameful, what about those who stand by and do nothing? If you stand aside and do nothing while your brothers are being slandered, are you any better? You know, there's one who I fail to remember his name that was a ruler in Israel that did nothing about his sons and allowed them to go on sinning, and the Lord had to dismiss him. He was destroyed because he allowed his sons to go on sinning. You know, those who fail to do anything are sowing dangerous seeds. And if you don't believe me, you look at Galatians 6:7. Do not allow evil to triumph by your inaction, standing by, doing nothing. Stand up and be counted. Speak up against evil. Rebuke evil men and their wicked ways. As I said earlier, I have watched Pastor Vincent Xavier do that very thing. Stand up against evil and speak it. Unafraid, because he knew who his Lord was. And I have admired him for that. From the very beginning of his ministry, he did not allow that which is evil to stay and to stand without speaking up. And oh, so many times hearts were changed because of it. But again, as I said earlier, we must put on the whole armor of God so that we will be able to stand against all of Satan's deceptive strategies and multitude of tricks. And in that, when we have that armor placed upon us, we will not be afraid. No, we will not be afraid. You know, I thank God. He has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumph. Now, he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. And the Bible says, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are Christ-like fragrance, rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we're a dreadful smell of death and doom. I get that. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? Are you? Am I? We have to begin to understand that there is a purpose and a reason for speaking out. And this is because we are ministers of a new covenant. We have the power to speak those things that are not as though they are. And we have to be sure to study again and again the verses and scripture that are given to us in Ephesians 6:10 through 18. Study them until the words become a part of you, as armor is to a warrior in combat. Because, beloved, you are in a real life and death combat. And speaking out is part of your warfare. You know, so many Christians are trying to outsmart the devil in their natural minds, when the word tells us already what to do. Through their physical strength, they are trying to stop the advances of Satan body of Christ, there is not enough strength in the natural mind, Satan. The only way to stop him is to do what is right through the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. It won't be your own strength and it won't be your own power. Through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Through the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now those who endure to the end, the Bible tells us, the same shall be saved. There's an endurance that we must have to become the bride of Christ. And those who are alive and remaining will be those who have endured to the end. And when the Lord comes, he will open his doors wide to the woman, who has become married to him through the endurance of what we see now. It is the bride of Christ will be alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord. She will be taken up, and of those who knew him, Christ, but did not receive the oil, who did not allow their lamps to be lit, but allowed them to be taken out because they once had their lamps lit, but their lamps were taken out because they had no more anointing. I know that this ministry has an anointing. And I'm asking you to help this ministry by sending financial assistance. We want to grow. We want the anointing to go forth and to bring down evil everywhere as much as possible so that multitudes will be saved by the knowledge of the truth. Will you give to this ministry? You may do so by sending it to Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. Would you join us in this war and become incredible warriors and be part of the army of the living God? It is time for you to rise up and do what is right, to be anointed, to be empowered by that anointing, to be the bride of Christ ready at his returning. The ones that did not have the anointing any longer, their lamps were put out and they were tossed out in darkness. So many Christians are trying to outsmart the devil in their natural minds. Though their physical strength is there, they're trying to stop the advances of Satan through their own humanity. Beloved, there is not enough strength in the natural mind to stop Satan. The only way to stop him is through the anointing, and it's through the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, through the supernatural, through the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus instructed us to do this in his name. And one of the first things he said was to cast out devils. You cast out the devil when you see it in one, when they're being bound by the enemy and can no longer even hear the truth. Cast that devil out of those in your family members. If you can't do it because they're too far away, then in the morning or in your prayer time, bind out those demons. You have the anointing. Do so. Help us to give this information not only to church members, but those who have not yet received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm for getting someone in government that'll give me more time. What for? To teach. To teach and to see the fulfillment of God's man and woman who are the elect, the overcomers, and there is the remnant. And there is the woman. She is the one who is married to Jesus Christ, the church of the living true God. Send it to Xavier, Pastor, 100, Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722, so we can continue to instruct in his name how to cast out devils, how to heal the sick, but not only that, but to become the true and only army of the living God. And remember, our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual, for the pulling down of strongholds, for the casting out of devils. We love you. God bless you. Until I talk to you tomorrow.